Alright, everybody, welcome to Overdunk episode 11. That's right, double digits. My name is Josh Zoinks Hebert. This podcast is the competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. I sit down every week, sometimes more than that every week, talking with the top teams in Unite. And today, I have the wonderful pleasure of sitting down and hanging out with some of the members of Full Send. Welcome onto the show, guys.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, of course. We have a returning guest in Snowpoints, so welcome to the show again, Snowpoints, but also welcome to Celestial and Bloodline, some new additions. We may have a couple of other team members drop into the show. I don't know. We'll let you know if it happens, audio listeners. But for you guys, I know we already have one on the show that's come before, but let's just do an introduction to everybody, just in case the listeners at home don't know who you guys are yet. Let's just move around a little bit of a Discord circle. Why don't you start, Bloodline? Introduce yourself, what people might know you from, and then what role you play for the team of Full Send.
Okay, yeah. Steven, otherwise known as Bloodline in game. I played Defender for Full Send. My previous team was Stray Dogs, which was one of the teams that played in the big G4 5K Invitational tourney.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, that was my most recent team, yeah.
Okay, awesome. Very, very cool. Celestial, why don't you go next?
Okay, well, I go by Celestial. I've been on probably half the teams in the game.
Okay.
I guess it started off with original Pip Champs, and then we moved to like White Flag, Tire, and whatnot, and now we ended up here, so.
Awesome, fantastic. You found a home on Full Send. It seems like a really good one so far. You guys have already found quite a bit of success, so that's fantastic. Snowpoints, why don't you do your introduction next?
Yep, so I'm Snowpoints. I played on PipChamps, BMFB, FF, and I guess now Full Send.
Awesome, very cool. And you are the support player extraordinaire for Full Send, right?
Yes, I guess you could say that.
Yeah. One and only definitely makes you the best support player on the team, whether your team decides to agree or not. Maybe we'll ask them eventually. Okay, awesome. And you've been picking up the Hoopa duties recently for your team on ladder and stuff like that?
Oh, I love Hoopa.
Okay, very, very good to see. Yes, I know. You're getting some love in the chat already for being number one Hoopa in the world.
Wow.
Yeah, might be hard to disagree. I don't know if your teammates agree or not, but we'll have to get into that in a little bit. But before we do that, me, Zoinks, the host of this show, needs to do, I think, a formal apology to Full Send. We did a bracket prediction with a couple other members of the community, as well as my co-caster, Dubesnacks, for you guys. I definitely slept on your team pretty, pretty hard. So this is my full admission of being wrong. And definitely shortchanging you guys a little bit because whoever, if you for some reason didn't get to watch the tournament this last weekend, Full Send was actually able to make it all the way to that number two spot. So earning that top four to make sure you guys don't have to play in qualifiers, earning yourselves a bunch of championship points and that number two spot. So first off, just huge congratulations and apologies all in one sentence from me. So I just wanted to make sure perfectly clear.
All good.
Yeah, awesome. So, guys, I want to talk a little bit about the formation of Full Send. So, you guys are relatively new. How long have you guys been a team together?
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Okay, awesome.
He's under.
We basically formed.
It's been like 2.5, you know.
Oh, true.
We basically formed, yeah, about a week before the open qualifiers.
Okay.
Is really when we locked down the roster.
Cool. And how did that happen? Was there one person kind of the central magnet that pulled in players from all over the place, or were you just a bunch of like-minded players that found each other and wanted to win?
Well, me and Alan have been together since BMFB.
Right.
After the whole BMFB broke up, we managed to make a team, which was me, Alan, Celestial, Gosu, Dexter.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually that team broke up, so now we decided to pick up Bloodline as well as Celestial, and we also managed to pick up Red Love. So more than half of our team we recently just picked up, but
okay,
all of us have played with one another multiple times before playing together as a whole team.
Sure.
We just kind of got a group together and full scented, basically.
Yeah, aptly named, and you performed up to the title you gave yourself. So that, yeah, that's pretty important. Celestial, I want to talk to you as the jungler player for Full Send, and you said you've played on quite a few different teams up until this point. Have you always played the jungler role? Is that where you feel most comfortable, or have you played multiple roles in the game?
Okay, so I technically, when I joined the second BMFB, I played Defender. And before that, I still have like 1,000 Luka games and played Luka for the first like 4 months of the game.
1,000 Luka games? Damn. Yeah. Okay. Yes. You got the reps for sure.
Yeah. So I've played quite a few different roles.
Okay.
Depends on what team.
Awesome. Bloodline, is that kind of the same story for you, or have you been a tried and true Defender main since you started playing the game?
Since back on my first team ever playing the game, I've been Defender, yeah.
Okay.
Back when I had a little stack going with generic ADC and Retsu, I was the Lax player, so I was always the Defender player.
Awesome. Tried and true, but hey, you definitely landed yourself on a solid team where you can perform on your role. That's fantastic. Okay, so we got a little bit of the information about what your team is like, how you guys were formed, what positions you're all playing. I like to get into the nitty-gritty, the real important stuff, you know, the deep dive here on the Overdunk. I need to know the biggest question I seem to ask every team lately. I need to know who's the biggest inter on your squad.
Oh boy.
Definitely Red.
Okay, the guy who's not here to defend himself, okay?
Definitely I'm down
for that answer.
I thought it was going to be me.
Bloodline dodging the bullet because Red Love's not here. Okay, so we have two votes for Red Love. Bloodline, you've kept a little bit quiet here. Are you in agreement, or is there someone else?
No, I don't want to say that. Can I vote myself? Can I say that?
Sure.
Just out of love for everybody else, I don't want to vote anybody else. I'll vote me.
Okay, yeah. Gotcha. So Red Love, a little bit of the inter, runs it down mid a little bit on that iconic Venusaur of theirs?
Sometimes, maybe, but...
Okay. All right, fair enough. Well, at least he knows. I mean, that's just a sign of confidence in the rest of the team, right? He knows that your whole squad's there to back him up. Okay, well then, Bloodline, since you gave yourself a very honorable decision for that, let me ask you specifically this next question then. Who's the low-key carry of the team that never seems to get any credit? Now, you can say yourself for this one as well.
No, I'm not going to. I'm going to say, I think we would all agree. It would probably be Otter. Probably okay. Otter would make some big plays. Not necessarily someone that is as like vocal or, you know, like big personality wise, but he's there and he's a big shot caller. He's a big piece of the puzzle, really.
Okay, awesome. Snow Points, I know you've played with Otter for quite some time now. What do you think that really stands out about Otter's play, their personality, their in-game, like, talk that really makes them a really solid player, enough for Bloodline to give them a shout out as a like a carry of the team?
Okay, so Otter is, for one, he's really passionate on winning the game.
Okay.
It's always something you want out of a player.
Mm-hmm.
And his shot calling is probably the best shot calling you can get out of any teammate. Like, his calls are always, you just want to follow them like 99% of the time. Like,
okay.
And so when we first made BMFB, Gosu played with Dexter on the end, the end, I guess you could say, which was a top team in season one.
Right.
So when we were looking for Lucario players, Dexter was always number one on our radar.
Okay.
But when we played with Otter in the November shiny event, like he stood out. Like, I never wanted him to leave BMFB. So, although he wasn't, like, playing on the main roster, I always had him, like, listed as main roster on the Discord.
Cool.
So I'm glad we were able to play with him for Worlds, or add him on the new team.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, well, Celestial, I want to throw this question to you, too. You don't have to talk more about Allen if you don't want to. Do you think that they truly are the low-key carry of the team? Or is there someone else you want to give a shout-out to?
Nah, it's definitely Allen.
I mean,
I play duo lane with him, obviously.
Right.
He makes really consistent level 9s. You know, I often take all of his farm and he doesn't complain, you know? So.
A jungler's best friend is the one who doesn't complain when you take all their farm. That makes a lot of sense. Hey, you need it. On a Charizard, you need to be fed, right?
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. All right, squad, last question I ask every team then, just to get to know a little bit of the personality side. Who's the funniest team member?
Oh, God. Our humor is something else. I don't even know how to answer that.
I gotta go Red on this one. No? Like, he actually says some of the dumbest things sometimes.
Red is pretty funny, I'm not gonna lie.
Red's a character, yeah. He's a character. That's for sure.
Yeah, I think anybody listening to this definitely knows who Red Love is already. A really solid player for your team. Going to be running that attacker lane spot for you guys. But yes, if you've tuned into their stream, anything that you've seen Red Love play in, that two things. That man wants to win every single game that they're in, for sure. And then the second one is that they put on a fantastic show. So that's really, really awesome. I'm glad that you guys have that piece of the puzzle, for sure. Really sounds like it rounds it out, but... Guys, I started off the show saying congratulations about this huge tournament win. You are not quite a win, but that second place finish in all, I think, is a really, really, especially with a 1 week old team. I think you guys got to be happy for that. I don't know if winning was everything to you guys, but hey, a second place, it will at least give you a giant congratulations from me. But I want to talk a little bit about the run. So on the stream here, I'm going to bring it up and then I can share it to Discord as well, too, just so you guys can see what I'm talking about. But here we go. I just want to walk through your bracket run a little bit and talk to you guys about what your tournament looked like. So round one, you guys were paired up against 1000 Dreams, a really solid team. They made it all the way to this tournament. I believe they got in because there was I believe this was the Bandicoots back out, if I remember correctly. But either way, you made it. This was no sponsors back out, right?
No. Neither of these were back out. So the Bandicoots was Team Mythical, and the no sponsors was Sigma Canto Training.
Oh, okay. So you knew you were going up against this game. All right. Well, either way, thank you for correcting me. You got a 2-0 win. Was this game kind of memorable at all, or did this one really just feel like it was your game the whole way through?
I don't remember that one. I'm not going to lie. The first one. I remember the second one, though. The second set.
Okay.
Yeah, the first set wasn't like too notable, I don't think. Like,
all right. Well, let's jump to that second set then. So you said it was 2-1. It's definitely a closer score line. Talk to me about what actually happened in game here.
They ran score comp.
Okay.
And although we stomped them so hard in lane every game, we managed to grief a lot during that set.
Okay.
That was kind of like a wake up call, I guess.
They were all really close games, all three of them. It went 2-1, but it could have easily gone 3-0 or 2-0 for either team. Who knows how it could have gone.
Gotcha.
It was something like macro-wise, we were like stunned by it because while they were playing a score comp, they weren't playing it how you would normally expect it. It was just so off the normal path that it was like it threw us for a loop, and they had a shook for a little bit.
I gotcha. Did you expect to go up against a score comp this early in the tournament, or was this were they completely off your radar?
I think we had played these people before, haven't we?
Yeah, I don't remember.
So
I want to say maybe in the open qualifier we ran into them, and it was like
no, we didn't the open qualifier. No, I've played versus someone ladder before, but I never played this 2-1-2 style they were playing before. This was like a first, so. Gotcha.
Yeah, I remember more, yeah.
Unexpected, but...
I think the last game, we went 2-1-2 to match them, correct?
Yep.
We had gone 1-1-3 the first two games, and we really didn't like the results, so we were like, last game, 1-1, we really want to make sure we don't lose here. So we're like, let's try something different, 2-1-2, and yeah, we got that win.
Who made that play call to do the 2-1-2?
I think, if I recall correctly, I think that was a Celestial call there.
Big brain Celestial. Okay, shout out. Celestial, talk to me. Why did you feel that adaptation was needed? Well, other than you were tied up 1-1. Okay.
So they were permanent taking topside first game. Like, it was broken like, really early, like half the time, like as Dreadnought was spawning.
Oh, gotcha.
And then they were taking Ardinos when Dreadnought spawns, so they went even in XP, right? Mm. Well, I also think just letting Alan be super behind is not that great, since obviously Alan makes plays, and I don't know, like, I just don't like top laner being that far behind typically.
Gotcha.
So it was like sort of hard with him playing weak side, so instead we just make it even side and trust that our bot lane secures and plays better.
Okay, gotcha. Well, That's a really solid pick into that. Did you, as the jungler player, have to make any major adaptations because of score comp? So I'm just really interested. Score comp has been a thing for a long time now, but it really has risen to the top. I mean, EU making it two score comp teams going into the finals against each other has really brought it into, like, I think the gigantic public eye. So talk to me. Have you, like, had to theorycraft how to beat score comp before, or is this a lot of on-the-fly decision-making?
It was, like, weird. It's, like, it was score comp, but it wasn't score comp.
Right,
it was, like, really pseudo score comp, where it was, like, they're running, like, Blissey and stuff, right?
Right.
So, I mean, I just played Cinder and Charizard. I didn't really change anything. I don't remember which games I played what, honestly.
Gotcha.
But it was sort of just, like, you play standard, you kill them, you wipe them. Yeah.
Gotcha. Well, that's awesome. I mean, it sounds like you need to make the adaptation, but if I know anything about Full Sand, I know that your team's not going to be losing confidence very easily. So if you're able to make those changes in a really high-pressure situation like this, you are in winner's bracket, but still, you want to push that as far as you can go. So you were able to take that win 2-1, send Lego down into the loser's bracket, and then you guys came up against Blackhand, or Ascendants as we formerly know them, newly sponsored, so no free shout-outs, but Team Blackhand, and you guys were in the game, and you ended up going down 2-1. Now, I know this was a little bit of a rougher game for you guys. Have you guys looked over this game as a team yet, specifically? Like, kind of tried to diagnose what happened, the problems with it?
That game, that whole set was really demotivating, because, like, especially, like, the first game, we killed their whole team, we're about to kill first Dread, and then Dread bounced their whole entire team up, and they stole it with one person.
With the who also would steal it, but Mopwop, of course.
Yeah. Tragic.
So,
yeah.
Like, after that set, you know, I was telling everyone, like, we should have had that set. Like, we just move on from losers. Mm-hmm. I remember Bloodline said, too, like, we're going to see them again. We'll be more prepared when we do.
Heck yeah.
Something they also did that was that caught us off guard is they left Lucario bot lane to just take our Aldinos, like, the whole set. Like, they never committed too hard on the Rotom. So we had to adapt to that play style next time we played them, and once we did, it felt, like, a lot better for our mid-game macro.
Okay, got you. So, yeah, you really learned a lot of lessons in a 2-0 loss, which could completely devastate some other teams. Like, let's face it, some teams would not be able to handle getting absolutely bodied by a top team in the game. And, I mean, yeah, like, I say absolutely bodied, 2-0 scoreline, but that was way closer of a game than the actual scoreline indicates. A Dreadnought bounce is a tragedy, but it happens to the best of us. You guys head down into the loser's bracket, and your first matchup, you have a pretty big gauntlet of teams that you had to face in this tournament. Like, you had a pretty, I don't want to say easy run to get up to, like, the round three section, but, like, you had a little bit easier side of a bracket. But immediately after that, you're into, like, hard games the rest of the way through. You go up against Team Shiny in your first game in the loser's bracket. Winner goes home in these situations. How are you guys feeling before the game? You, like, learn that you're probably going to be playing Team Shiny. It's them versus Floatstone Gaming. I've had both of these teams on the podcast. I really respect players on both sides, but Team Shiny is kind of the higher rated team at the moment. You know they're coming up against you guys. Were you nervous? I know a lot of your players have respect for players on Team Shiny as well.
Right. So that set was actually crazy, by the way. That was, like, probably the most insane set I've had in, like, a whole Unite tournament.
Okay.
Beforehand going into it, I felt comfortable that we could beat them because we scrimmed them, like, a day before.
Okay.
And we went 3-2 versus them, but I felt like we could have gone 4-1. So, like, going into it, I felt confident that we could win. But I think winning that whole set just brought everyone's mental back into it. We're really happy to move on. And we felt like we could make it to grand finals if we just played at our best and didn't make as many mistakes as we did in winner's bracket.
Yeah, there's not many better ways to reset your mental than taking down one of, like, the top three rated teams in the game. So in a 2-1 set, that'll definitely get your momentum moving. Celestial or Bloodline, do you guys remember anything specific about this game that really felt good, that went your way, that kind of clinched you this win?
Hands down, the game 3 shot calling from Otter. I mean, this is one of the big reasons why I think he's been the MVP or clutch player recently. The shot calls in these 2-1 sets were perfect, and we needed them to be. That was the only way we're going to take these games off these really good players, was excellent shot calling and taking an opportunity when we saw it. And game three, 2-1, we just ran into Zap Pit because we knew they were missing an ulti. Otter made the call, and it worked out for us.
Heck yeah, that's awesome. So yeah, really good on-the-point decision-making. Celestial, was this a game, a really tough one to go up against? I know Elo, Rin, like whoever they're playing in jungle at the time, it's a tough matchup. How are you feeling this game?
Okay, so game one was Elo, and
okay.
That game went super smooth. It was like sort of like an easier game.
Okay.
It was Charizard into Cinderace. And then after game one, they swapped off Elo, and Rin went Charizard, so it got a lot harder, in my opinion.
Okay.
And we lost game two. I actually, like, they hard... The issue is, when you're playing versus Rin, is they hard funnel Rin.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So he's like 15, right? But right. Then we're at the issue of, like, I'm permanently two levels down, but my teammates are up at the same time, so it's, like, sort of awkward to me.
Yeah, okay.
And then... Yeah, it was just close after that. They won game two, and then game three was sort of came down to a flip.
Okay,
but
yeah. But a play called flip, for sure.
One close thing I will say is Faz did steal a Zapdos game two.
My god.
Yes. Aslan Gleam versus Charizard, Lucario.
And...
wasn't like 4-on-1.
I was there. I was going Elo in the top lane, and then I think the rest of you were on it.
I think I was dead. I think I was spawning or something, and he just ran in. Oh gosh!
It was like now first tick of Dazzling Gleam too, wasn't it? Like, because you get those two blasts. Oh, yeah. That is.
It was so tragic.
That is truly, truly tragic. That's a rough one. But okay, so you guys were able to clinch it in the end. Were you playing Wigglytuff that whole time, Bloodline, or were you on Slowbro this tournament?
The entire tournament, I never switched off Wiggly.
Okay, interesting.
Yep.
And, like, is Wiggly seems to me like a really, really hard match to go into Charizard. Do you also feel this way?
Yes, because Charizard has a good ulti against Wiggly, but we just felt like it was the strongest pick regardless of what the enemy team ran, so we just decided that was what we were going to run.
Gotcha. Even though it has a glaring weakness that you can counter, you can also utilize it in other ways throughout the game. Okay, makes sense. If you have confidence in that pick, obviously it worked out for you guys. 2-1 win. Next up, you guys go against Gengar Goons. Now, Gengar Goons, definitely not a very highly rated team by the community, but I think that opinion's definitely starting to change. I mean, they made it all the way through this bracket, able to make it into their round 5, meaning they're in top 4 and have now qualified for the next finals as well, so don't have to play in the opens. This game was a 2-0 though in your favor. Talk to me about this game. Is the scoreline a little bit different, or was Full Send kind of in the driver's seat throughout this entire match?
I would say we were pretty much in the driver's seat for both games. They were pretty, they felt like pretty good showings for our team, which was really good confidence boost coming off a very close 2-1, which was exactly what we needed in loser's bracket as we kept climbing. But I would say, yeah, they were pretty much a very strong showing from our team.
Awesome. Cool. Snowpoint, Celestial, same ideas?
So, yeah. I know game one, at one point we were up 600 points before Zap.
Yeah,
so
that's pretty good.
It was a real big confidence booster, especially after game one. And game two didn't go much differently, so...
Nice. I've been watching some of your VODs. I know Bloodline's been working on his math, so it's good to hear that you know the exact count of how many points you're up. So
thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Those quick maths have been very solid. All right, so finally, in the Losers Finals, you guys get your rematch versus Black Hand. They were knocked down by, of course, the TTV, Gaming Gladiators, whatever you want to call this squad. Knocked down Black Hand, back down, and you had to play against them 2-1. Now, I know there was some unfortunate circumstances throughout the game, but hey, the scoreline is still in your favor. Talk to me about this game. What was it feeling like? Were you guys excited to finally get your rematch? You're coming off of two really, really good wins. It must feel pretty solid to be going against the team that beat you.
Yeah, I was excited to play that game.
Yeah.
I felt like we were a strong enough team to beat them.
Okay.
So I was ready to play them right off the bat, but I wish we would have won in winners set. Not gonna lie, because I felt like we played really well in winners. We just made really big crucial mistakes that costed us objectives.
Okay.
Like from their side, they had a lot of inconveniences during the set. So it would have felt more better to win in winners, in my opinion,
For
than
sure.
losers.
Yeah, though that definitely makes sense. I know that this game will kind of have an asterisk on it for some, but I mean, despite that, this is still a win for you guys. I mean, you got to take what you have. It wasn't your fault. You guys can't blame any of that on you for sure. But you do win 2-1. Celestial, how did this game feel specifically for you?
Oh boy, these games were a very interesting
Okay.
game. Like, I felt like we were playing from behind a lot of the time, and then we managed to, I feel like, out macro almost.
Okay.
And then, or they just straight up sort of fought for no reason, died, someone would overextend, we get catch up XP, and then, yeah, we can just sort of do what we want.
Gotcha. Okay. Sounds like, yeah, a little bit of really solid rotations, good team fight decisions made you guys sit in this winner's final. Now, you didn't get to play TTV or Game and Gladiators here whatsoever throughout this entire tournament. I know most teams also are doing a lot of their prep to beat this team. Obviously, they are like the most notarized team in the game. Definitely, have the most tournament wins, all this stuff. Number one ranked team, whatever you want to call them, they have had a didn't drop a game in this tournament. When you're going in against this team, do you guys have strats in mind to beat them? Do you have specific things you want to try to do, or is everything in your mind focused on just playing your game well?
I think we focused on playing our game well, but they definitely did things that we weren't ready of. Like they ganked, like Toon ganked bot basically the whole entire game.
Interesting. Okay.
And the first game, I felt like if we got first dread, we would have honestly won the match. But first dread was honestly just the flip from both sides, and we
Okay.
didn't get it. Second game, I felt like they were dominating in lane, but they ended up griefing a lot of the XP by just pushing our pads and dying.
Okay.
So it made the game a lot easier on our hands when they did that. We kind of had another way back into it.
Gotcha. Okay. Makes a lot of sense. Bloodline, I know that headed into a team with Zugrug as the main tank on the other side is always going to be an intimidating prospect. Do you enjoy playing against this team? I know, like, they're one of the best teams in the game. Does it feel good to play, like, the best of the best, or is it a little worrisome every time you head into this match?
I think I'm always a person that gets like nervous in general for like tournaments,
Okay.
but once I get like locked in and we play a couple sets, I kind of get in the zone.
Okay.
TTV always, or now GG,
Sure.
is a pleasure to play against. They're hands down the strongest team.
Right.
They are someone that you learn a lot from just playing them one time,
Yeah.
honestly. You play them one time and there's so many things that you see you could do better. So it's always a pleasure to play against them, even in tourney. They're a strong opponent, and I always love to play against strong opponents, especially Zugrug. Great defender, great player.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. How about you, Celestial? I know playing against Toon is a problem for a lot of people. Does it make you excited, or is it just so challenging that it's really annoying?
Makes me have to think about the game a lot more, especially versus Toon. It's a lot of
Yuck.
rotations other junglers don't do,
Okay.
and makes me have to either match or do something else on the opposite side of the map permanently, so.
Yeah, a lot of adaptation for sure. That makes a lot of sense. But okay, so you guys did make it all the way to the grand finals, had a couple of really good banger games in that grand final, a few dreadnought flips the other way, could have made this scoreline a little bit closer, but it ended up being the 2-0 loss. But that being said, you guys have made your way to the grand no, sorry, not the grand finals. You don't have to play in the qualifiers next time. You've made your way all the way to the March finals already. So very, very exciting. Congratulations to you guys. But so now that you've made it here, you had a really solid back bracket run. You're not going to be playing until I think a month from now in that official tournament. Of course, there's more tournaments, community things, all that kind of thing. Has the pedal been lifted off the gas a little bit for your team in terms of practice and reps and all those kind of things? Are you guys taking a bit of a break, or are you just right back on it, wanting to practice as much as you can?
I'd say it's the opposite. I feel like we're playing a
Awesome.
lot more than we did before the tournament.
Okay, well, I mean, you were a team for a week, so I guess that is makes a lot of sense. But okay, so you guys have turned up your practice schedule a little bit. Interesting. Why do you think that is?
I couldn't really tell you honestly. Like
Yeah.
the way our schedule works with this team is kind of interesting. We kind of swap things around every now and then.
Sure. That
Okay,
makes
I'll
sense.
explain it this way. I had to specifically set an alarm to wake up for this. So,
Okay. That is a very interesting sleep schedule. Yes. Okay, very cool. All right, well, so your team is tough to schedule around, but I mean, that taste of winning has definitely inspired you guys to get back into the lab and get practicing a little bit more. That's awesome. So you guys have been, what does that practice look like, by the way? Have you guys scheduled scrims or anything like that? Have you committed time to doing VOD review of games, whether that be tournament or just ladder? Or are you guys just strictly grinding ladder trying to learn this new meta we found ourselves in?
I'd say we've played a lot of ladder, but we have been scrimming teams consistently. We've
Awesome.
scrimmed Ascendance, Shiny. I think we're playing Glitch Energy. I think that's what their team is. As soon as this podcast ends,
Oh, sick. That's
yeah, we
awesome.
got stuff lined up.
That's
Yeah.
fantastic. I may be DMing you guys to try to get myself a spectator slot in some of those. We're kind of hungry for some VODs to cast over, so we'll see.
Okay.
anyways, that's very cool. Awesome. So you guys are due to some scrimming. Like I mentioned, we are finding ourselves in a new meta. Hoopa has been released. In my mind, a super fun, but obviously very game-changing Pokemon being added to the game. Broken, powerful. You can kind of choose your definition. It doesn't really matter to me. Bradley, I know you've been playing a ton of it, but I actually want to get your teammates' impression of Hoopa first. Celestial, what about Hoopa? Do you love it? Hate it? What are the vibes?
Oh boy, you're asking the one person on the team who hates that mod most.
Okay,
That
perfect.
mod makes me just not want to play the game, I'm not gonna lie.
Got
But
it. Any specific reason?
it
All of
just
it?
feels
Okay.
so degenerate. Like,
Okay.
it's making me have to reposition in a team fight because of a portal. Like,
Yeah.
I don't want to have to do this, you
A
know? Like, I like my
big portal too,
pokies.
like
Yeah, like
Okay, I gotcha. Bloodline, how about you? I maybe a little bit less than Celestial, but still, what are your feelings towards this new character?
it's a very polarizing character, a very like meta-defining character, obviously, right? I think this was one of the reasons why we kept our foot on the gas was we know this mon is being released and we still have a lot to prove, and we want to make sure that, let's say, the meta changes, that we're going to adapt and we're going to keep, performing at where we feel we should perform.
That's
And
awesome.
Hoopa is crazy. It's just
Yeah.
changing things up. It's a really strong mon, but it's honestly, I'm very happy for Bradley because it gives him a lot more skill expression. We're in the lane. He's so excited to be playing it. He's talking about all these things he's doing. Like, it's great to hear somebody have fun with a character that's, especially when they've been stuck in LD jail for who knows how long. You know what I
That's
mean?
true. That's true. All right, well, this is the part of the sitcom where the camera turns and the door lights up and brilliant light. Bradley, talk to me about Hoopa. Do you enjoy this Pokemon?
All right. I love Hoopa. But it's for what most people wouldn't think. I
Okay.
love laning with Hoopa because I
Okay.
feel like Hoopa defines who typically has control of the bot lane. Like, for example, if I stun better than the enemy Hoopa on an enemy tank, my tank has the better odds of securing. With
Makes
Aldegoss, you just 3-2-1 burst, you just shoot a leafage.
sense. Yes, if anything, not having to yell 3-2-1 burst in bottom lane, I think this is a win overall already.
Right.
So,
Yeah.
fantastic.
The other thing is my ultimate as well. Like, I think Eldegoss ult gets like uncredited a lot of the time because Eldegoss ult is really important in team fights.
Oh, yeah.
But Tupo, like you get to show off what you can do on a character mechanically. You can
Absolutely.
stun people, you can line them up, you can do so much with the character.
Absolutely. You're referring to when you go Hoopa Unbound and become a demigod, essentially, in whatever part of the
Yeah,
map you're in?
exactly.
Yeah,
Yep.
okay, cool.
He's already got his Twitter clips lined up. He's already got his montages
I
on
saw the
Google
montage. That
Drive.
montage was
Yeah,
hype, by the way.
it was pretty
I
hype.
love that.
Came out of nowhere. I loved it. It was
Yeah,
cool.
a video with some gas for sure, but okay, awesome. So we see some Hoopa skill expression. I see the like problems that people are having with it, the complaints that are coming from this Pokemon for sure. But also, I really do think like in terms of MOBA game design, this Pokemon has one of the highest skill ceilings, but also highest skill floors that we've seen. Like, it could be one of the best Pokemon in the game if used by really good players, but it is also very hard to be good with this Pokemon, which is really exciting. I mean, I think if we're running a competitive game, that is kind of the gold standard that we want to have. Like, the strongest Pokemon in the game, we want them to rely on having good skill. Am I completely off base here? Do you guys think that this Pokemon is still good even in the hands of a poor player? Or do you think that, like, you need to be good at Hoopa to really prove what Hoopa can do?
I think if you're mechanically good at the game and you're a very smart player, you definitely shine on the character more than a character or more than a support player on another team who would play something like Eldegoss, where your role is typically a lot more easier and less complicated than if you're playing Hoopa.
Okay, makes sense. So I have a little bit of somebody in my corner here, back of me, but I do think that it is that strong skill ceiling character. But okay, fantastic. Let's talk a little bit about what it's done to shift the meta, obviously. And I guess by that, it's permanently done so. It is now an insta-lock character in every single team comp. Do you think that team comps can afford to not run Hoopa right now?
Bradley, personally, you... I think
yeah, I mean...
I don't know why it took you so long. No.
Okay.
No.
Personally, I think the only way you could not run it is if you run some crazy score comp.
Okay.
But besides that, there's no way that you have to run this character. Eldegoss in lane is half of a bully as she was before Hoopa came out.
Right. Okay, so that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I know I've seen some murmurings of the Eldegoss Blissey, both of those Pokemon being in there, but it doesn't really feel like it actually achieves anything. So, maybe not meta-defining whatsoever, but okay. I know that pretty much every player has been running the, like, portal build, right? Which makes sense to me. A stupidly broken ability, if we're being honest. Going back to base, resetting, great. Also, just transporting between zones has been pretty huge. I've been tuning into some of your guys' Twitch streams for sure, and my favorite thing is that it has to be every 2 seconds, people are already calling for portals. Like, Bradley, your players are spoiled. Like,
yeah.
Your players are calling for portals even though they know that stuff's on cooldown. Yeah, I think we've talked a lot about Hoopa exposing people. I think if you guys are playing with too good of a Hoopa for a little while, some players might get to be spoiled as well and start having that feeling. But how has it for you, Bloodline, to be able to play with a Hoopa instead of an Eldegoss? How much have you had to change your playstyle in the bottom lane to account for this new Pokemon being there?
I think it's given me, like... I don't know. See, I'm kind of scared of what you're saying because it's like I'm already that guy where it's like if I die, I'm like thinking, I'm like, Bradley, did you have your portal up by any chance? Like, was it on cooldown? I'm already saying stuff like that because it's helping me. Like, Hoopa's helping me so much in lane. The stuff Bradley's doing now is it helps me with secures, with being able to play super aggressive, which is really good for somebody that, like, with our new attacker Red Love, like, a very aggressive player, and these portals help me, like, get in there, cheese a reset, come back full HP, and, you know, keep smacking people with Wiggly, you know what I mean? So it's crazy how much it's helping me, which is kind of scary. I got to make sure that I don't rely on it too much. It's been bailing me out a couple times, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. And who knows? I mean, we may get a nerf on this character, we may not. Mm-hmm. The days of the Sylveon insta nerf seem to be gone from the developers, so yeah. I'm not sure. Celestial, you mentioned you had to play differently around this Pokemon as the jungler, completely differently. Can you give me any specifics? What is Hoopa allowing you to do, but what is Hoopa on the other side forcing you to do as that jungler player?
Which is one of the biggest things, especially early game, is first dunk. If you kill them in lane, half the time you still won't be able to get your dunk off, even if you double kill them in time.
Oh, interesting.
Whereas before you would, so it's making getting 9 harder also, I would say.
Okay, gotcha. Those early dunks are really difficult to find.
Besides that, I would say you know, the fact that people can just insta reset in team fights, pretty strong.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not just resetting health bars by, you know, healing anymore. It's just going away and coming back, which is pretty insane. But hey, it's in the game. We got to adapt. We got to play around it. And the best part is you can also use it because we are not in a draft game yet. So that is pretty fantastic. But all right, so we've talked a little bit about how Hoopa defines the game. Snow Points, any other hidden Hoopa text that you want to give away right now?
I know some texts you can do, but I don't know if my team wants me to say, so I'll be quiet.
Okay, secrets.
There's some fun stuff you can do. There is some fun stuff.
Yeah, I will say, since this one's pretty popular, there is one where you can submission Machamp into your portal and send him to your spawn, and he's just stuck there.
That's hilarious. Oh, man. Good stuff. That shouldn't be allowed, but that's so funny. Okay, cool. Last question about Hoopa and the Mon. Have you tried the Trick Shadow Ball build at all? Is it viable? Is it pretty worthless compared to the other side?
Okay, so I think Trick Shadow Ball is, like, a really strong moveset.
Okay.
Like, if Portal was to get Giga nerfed, I'd still run Trick Shadow Ball over playing a character like Eldegoss.
Okay.
Like, I'd put it in, like, A or S tier moveset, but the portal is, like, it's something on its own. So I'd put in, like, SS, for example. Like,
okay, gotcha.
If you're playing Koopa, I'd highly recommend going portal. I think it's too OP of an ability to give up.
Sure.
But if ever gets nerfed, I think Trick Shadow Ball is a viable moveset in lane throughout the game.
Maybe a, like, shade similar to a Venusaur, where, like, their other side of their build is strong, but maybe not the most popular. Or maybe more like a Pikachu. It's not as dramatically both good. Venusaur, I feel like, is almost at that 50-50 mark, whereas, like, Pikachu's Volt Tackle, not really used, but it could be. Okay. Maybe not exactly what you're talking about, but great. Hoopa has multiple options. Great. It's still strong even in that regard. Awesome. All right, so that's a look at kind of the meta you guys are in. You're currently labbing it out, but from what I can see, you guys are finding a lot of success. Obviously, Bradley, you've really taken to this character. That's helped enforce it. Celestial, you're able to play the Charizard, and from what I can tell, you are a swear word awesome Charizard, so that's really, really fun to see. Bloodline, you look very comfortable on that Wigglytuff. Your team really seems to be finding their groove. Allows Redlove to play that Venusaur. This meta seems like it is very, very favoring full send, which is fantastic. If we put TTV still in that top tier, though, if we give them that first place, we haven't really seen them play with this meta in this tournament scene yet, but if we're giving that number one, where do you guys find yourselves in the rest of the teams of NA? Are you clearly number two? And if so, how far is that gap between you guys and other teams? Is there any other team that you think is very close to your level right now?
I'd say our biggest competitors are Shiny and Blackhand for sure.
Okay.
Shiny is down a support player right now, though. They're going like through team management, so I'm not sure how well they'll do after they get a new support player, and as well as they're playing Lost Ark a lot, so they're not playing as much as they typically used to.
Sure.
Which, you know, respects to them. If they want to play another game they enjoy doing, why not do it?
Yeah, no, I hear you. And a specific note on that, I literally had someone join our podcast like midway through last time. Red Maw has been bitten by the Elden Ring gameplay. So, yes, the other games are... Gaming's good right now, guys. There's a lot of good games out there right now. So, it's available.
So, I will say something on this topic of, for Blackhand also, they will be missing Overlord next month. So
that's true.
A huge factor, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, another separator between you and them. I'm in full agreement with you, Celestia. I really think Overlord is like the giant skill gap that really prevents the Blackhand. Like,
without a doubt, players, I think he's the number one player by far on their team.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think best in role. You guys can give other shoutouts, obviously not on your team, but I think best my pick for best top laner in the scene right now. But okay, yeah, so you TTV, you guys in tough contention, but maybe not quite there. Let's talk about how close are you guys to that number one spot then? Especially coming into this new meta. If you matched up against TTV today, do you think that you'd win it easily? Do you think it'd be a close battle? Or do you guys not feel like you're quite there yet? You are still a new roster.
I'm not sure how it would play out with Hoopa meta.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him play Hoopa meta either.
Okay.
I think I'm going to have a fun time playing them in lane now because I feel like Koopa controls the lane a lot more, and that's typically what I've wanted to do on Eldegoss for the longest time, is be able to make more of a difference in lane through
Okay.
being like a lane bully.
Right.
So Hoopa giving me that kit just makes it interesting. I couldn't tell you. We'd have to play him first,
Okay,
so.
sure. Yeah, this is all theory crafting, especially in a new meta. Who knows? But okay, awesome. Celestial or Bloodline, just a quick question though. Do you think that right now, I guess what I'm asking is, how good does your team feel right now? Are you guys feeling like kind of on the top of the world, or are you still really trying to figure things out in this current meta?
I think we're looking where we're at right now.
Okay.
The fact that Bradley's really enjoying the character, Celestial might not be enjoying it as much, but the fact that, Bradley gets a huge boost to it, it really helps. I mean, TTV, it's always going to be a challenge, just like
Sure.
Shining and Ascendance or Black End, they're all always going to be challenging teams, and they're always going to be tough battles, good battles. But we like where we're going, and we like the meta right now. We just got to make sure we know what we're doing with the Mon
Okay.
when those big tournaments come up.
Awesome. Awesome. Celestial, how's the team feeling right now?
I think it's feeling decent. I think we still have some things to fix, though.
Sure. Okay.
I think it'll
Of
feel better
course.
soon-ish. And then I think for the meta-wise, I think the team is pretty happy with meta right now. Bradley hated the game a lot more than he does right now, so.
Yep. Yeah.
Yes. From what I've learned of gamers, especially competitive players like yourselves, it's whatever you can do to make you hate the game as little as possible. Because let's face it, every competitive player hates their game. It's their way of loving the game. So you have to find a way to make them hate it as little as possible, and then you've really found a perfect rhythm. But okay, awesome. Team Fullsend looking absolutely fantastic. Already qualified for these March finals. The prep has started and in fact has actually increased coming up. You guys are looking fantastic. I'm really excited to see how you match up to the rest of the NA scene after this next open qualifiers. We're gonna have some brand new teams in the bracket. We'll have some old names that we've seen forever. It's gonna be fantastic. I can't wait to watch. I'd love to cast, but it's gonna be a really, really exciting time. But that kind of is gonna bring us to the end of our show here, guys. Thank you so much for joining me. But I do want to end on just sort of one ending question, and then I'll let you guys sell out in a second here. But I'd like to ask this of every team that comes on the podcast. I know I repeat a few questions, but the one I love to repeat is I just love to get kind of a tip from each of you guys on what really makes a good player into a great player. I know we're having a lot of new faces entering into the Unite scene. We had like 200 teams just shy of that in NA. Over 100 in EU. A lot of new players are trying out this game at the competitive level. And so we may have some new listeners to this. I just want to give them a bit of help, on their way, finding a five stack, climbing up, getting better. So why don't we start with you, Bloodline? What's a tip you have for a new defender player who's like maybe just hit masters, is starting to grind up, and really wants to find a team and get better? What's one tip that can make a player go from good to great?
Man, I think the more chances you get, the more opportunities you get to play people that you know are better than you is probably you should take every opportunity you can. I think one of my best ways growing playing this game was just playing against people that were better than me and
Okay.
just seeing what they do and looking at their timing, their coordination. It's all like, at least for me, very, very good information to see rotations, how even how they walk to lane. Just pathing, simple things like that, they do differently than people that are just starting out in the game. And
Sure.
it's big confidence boost when you learn just a few things just from playing 10 minutes with the team that's better than you.
That makes sense. Study up on your opposition. Always going to be an important thing. Celestial, how about you? Do you got a tip for a jungler player or just a general tip to make a good player go to a great player?
I think I guess focus on what like top junglers are doing
Okay.
and like figure out their pathing, figure out all the clears you can do and stop griefing your pathing, because when you're pathing and you grief it at all, you actually just don't get nine. And like if you don't get nine, that itself is a huge issue. Like
Right, yeah.
I think I didn't get nine like three games all of last tournament. So it's like
Mm.
really important that you get nine every game.
Yeah, let's go back, look at how many games we lost. Oh, looks like three games. Oof, yeah, okay. So, yeah, all right, makes sense. Make sure you're hitting that nine. Okay, I think that is a jungler golden rule. Any jungler player who has aspirations on making it big, make sure you write that down, not on a piece of paper. You get a stone tablet and a chisel. Because reaching that level 9 is very, very important. Bradley, I know you've already answered this question on my show once before, but if you got something new, why don't you share it here now? What's a good tip for a new player? Support role, or just in general?
Well, since I'm picking up Hoopa, I might as well give a Hoopa tip. Use your kit correctly in lane.
Just be good, yeah.
And make sure you use the little magician button to get your team a berry, because sometimes I still forget that, but that berry is very good in team fights.
Yeah,
during the first like 30 seconds.
Mm. Yeah, so that's what this character needed, was yet just an extra ability that no one
another
has.
Button to press.
Another button to press. What a gift. But awesome, guys. Thank you so much. I want to give you a chance now. Sell out, shout out, whatever you want to. Tell the people where they can find you on the internet, where they can watch you if you stream, all that good stuff. Let's go in that same order. Bloodline, kick us off.
My Twitter is TTV_Bloodline1, same as my Twitch. It's Bloodline1. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Anytime, guys. The red carpet is open to full send. I hope to have you guys on another time. I love having you here. Celestial, why don't you go next? Plug all your stuff.
I guess my Twitch is EC_Celestial, and then Twitter is just Celestial Unite. I don't really stream as much anymore. Same with Twitter, but I guess they're there. I do sometimes, random always.
Awesome. All right, cool. Well, make sure you're at least watching Full Sends games to see this jungler in action. Snow Points, why don't you finish this off with this sellout?
Yep, twitch.tv/snowpoints and then twitter.com/snowpoints, but with two W's instead of one.
Oh, gotcha. Double the W, double the fun. Awesome, guys. Go follow everywhere. And then don't forget to follow Unite Mics here on Twitch, over on the YouTube. Got tons of video of top players, top teams on a podcast here. Also got my buddy Dupesnack's Late Night Unite podcast on there as well. Just had the content Cowboy Spraggles on the last episode. So much content over at youtube.com/UniteMics, guys. Does us a world of good if you follow there. Also, my last plug I'll do before the end of the show and not just ramble on forever. Shout out to a dude on Twitter who messaged me and was like, hey, is this show going to be on Apple Podcasts? And I was like, it already is. And then I was informed it absolutely wasn't. So as of today, this show is now on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. It is finally everywhere you can actually find it. Do me a favor, go on there, follow the show, subscribe, and just rate, review 5 stars. If you're going to only rate and review 4 stars, get out of here. It's an instant ban in chat forever. But go rate and review 5 stars. It just does us so, so good, especially because we're kind of just starting the iTunes now, so those first few weeks are really important for any new podcast. So please go help that out. But for Full Send, for Unite Mics, I have been Zoinks. This has been Full Send. Have an awesome rest of your week, and look forward to watching this team play in the March finals. Goodbye, everybody.